What is going on, Suns fans? Justin here, and with me, as always, is my podcasting partner, Paul.
Back at it again with the hot takes.
You thought you were going to mess that up?
I was about to say back at it again with the white fans.
All right.
Because you don't know pop culture.
I don't know pop culture at all. So, but at any rate, we are coming at you with this week's edition of Bright Side of the Suns for the Fans, by the Fans podcast.
It's been a bit.
It has been a bit. It's been 2 weeks since the last time we put anything out there, and seems like longer. Does that mean, like...
No, just
you miss
been
you
busy.
Miss me so much.
No, just so much has gone on since last time we recorded.
That's true. So
not just in Suns world.
Speaking of that, then the Suns, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, are 2-4 since the last time we were here with you all. In that time frame, they beat the Lakers, which is always a good feeling. Always a good feeling to beat the Lakers. Am I right?
I love watching the Lakers lose, especially losing to the Suns.
Absolutely. They had the close loss to the Pelicans last Sunday, which was Brightside night, which we will talk about here in a little bit. And they also beat the Knicks in what I thought was a very, very exciting game to watch, giving us a little bit of a taste of, well, the ups and downs that we're going to feel all year, because they had a pretty big lead in that game and then proceeded to lose it and then still managed to pull out the win in overtime?
Yeah.
Back-to-back overtime games, that's right.
Have the Suns played I feel like the Suns must have played close to, if not the most, overtime games of any team this season.
I'm pretty sure they've played like 74 overtime games this year, so I think you're right about that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's just a lot of overtime. A lot of free basketball.
They lost to the Spurs last night. To be expected. They hung in there for three quarters, and the fourth quarter kind of went to crap, but you know what? It happens.
The Spurs are the Spurs, and the Suns are...
The Suns. Right, yeah. That's very well said. That's accurate. And you know what? Frankly, it doesn't really matter, because we all know that the game that they're going to win against the Spurs this month is coming later in San Antonio, as one of us two geniuses here predicted last time we spoke. That's me. If I'm wrong, yeah. You don't remember that?
I might have been a few too many.
Come on, bro. Come on. So, at any rate, we'll get into it. We're going to talk about a few Suns topics here this week. The things that we find interesting, perhaps you'll find interesting. Either way, we're going to talk about it. The first thing I want to talk about, though, is Brightside Night. Not necessarily Brightside Night itself, which actually turned out wonderfully. Great job by the guys over at brightsideofthesun.com. We met that goal of 1,000. Thanks a lot to all of you out there who donated. But what I do want to talk about more specifically about that evening is the Q&A session that we got to sit in on, along with other Suns fans, with the Suns GM, McD himself, Ryan McDonough. Paul, what's your biggest, primary, most important, most memorable takeaway from that 45-minute session that we ended up having with McD?
Yeah, it was really great. It was really nice to have that kind of access to a GM. What I took away from it was really just, I was kind of surprised at how like frank and honest he was on some things. I mean, because I guess I'm just used to, as being a Chargers fan, with Tom Telesco, and he like doesn't say anything of note. Mm-hmm. Like McDonough really kind of laid it out there. I mean, obviously there's certain things he can't talk about, but I mean, he was pretty straightforward with any question that was asked of him. He like named names with things, and one of the fans that was there asked about like trades and things like that, and he straight up said, we get calls on PJ and Tyson. Like, those are the guys who we get calls on, because everybody wants a strong wing defender who can shoot threes and a inside man who can defend, block shots, and get boards.
I do want to point out, if I may interject, I believe a few weeks ago you said that PJ Tucker didn't know how to shoot threes anymore. Are you going back on that now?
I don't know. He did score the first 9 points of the Suns game that night.
He did. So that didn't answer my question. Are you going back on it?
At the time, he did not know how to shoot threes anymore.
So...
he's turned in a corner. He seems to be more engaged.
There you go. Okay, so that was your biggest takeaway, just Ryan McDonough being frank, discussing specific names of guys
specific
they get
names
traded
just,
for.
He answered questions and with not the normal like coach speak or like GM speak of kind of evading questions. He actually answered the questions head on, to the fans that they asked. And I mean, some of them were pretty, frank questions, and he just took it on and answered them with eloquent answers that were informative.
Which as eloquent as that little.
I never said I was eloquent.
I'm just asking you.
You're the one who professionally speaks.
Every now and then I do that. That's true. So moving on from that, I think the one thing that I took away from it was a question that I had in my head when we were sitting there, but I didn't want to ask because I'm like, should I ask this? Maybe I shouldn't, because I feel like he's not going to give us a straight answer because it's a weird situation. But everyone's favorite editor, Dave King himself, asked, what's going on with TJ Warren? What's the deal? What's the injury? Can you give us any more information? Excuse me. And the short answer to that was no, it really can't. Which I thought was interesting because I think that certainly indicates that it's not just a concussion.
Yeah.
There was something going on there that had the potential of being serious, but apparently is not serious, which is effectively how he said it. Yeah. So they've eliminated anything serious, which is fantastic, which is why TJ Warren has been cleared to scrimmage full court. And he had indicated, and this was last Sunday, that he would anticipate him back here in the next
week or so.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully sometime this week we'll get ourselves a TJ Warren and have a TJ and PJ back on the court at some point. Because that's just fun to say, if anything.
Yeah, TJ to PJ.
TJ to PJ, PJ to TJ, TJ and PJ, PJ and TJ. Any way you cut it, it flows off the tongue. I enjoy it. Ooh. That's a whole another fold. A whole another wrinkle. I like it. So what about the game itself? That was the first game that I've been to this year.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe I shouldn't be admitting that. I don't know. But you know what? I got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Kind of a busy guy.
Got kids.
Whatever. It is what it is. So any takeaways from that game? And let's not talk about that. I have no idea what that three-pointer at the buzzer was all about. That was ludicrous. Okay,
Let's
not talk about it outside of me talking
about it
right now.
We talked about it for like 5 minutes at the game.
I know, but we don't need we spent 5 minutes saying, what the hell was that all about? Maybe Eric Bledsoe was just feeling it, so be it.
But
at least if you're going to jack up a three at the buzzer, get a little bit closer to the three-point line and don't hoist it up from 3 feet back. But that's neither here nor there. It happened. It didn't go in. So,
well, I just want to know.
Unless you want to talk about that, go on.
I just want to know, what the hell was the play call for that? Just
well, there's clearly no play call.
Bledsoe's game is driving to the hole and either getting fouled or scoring. What the hell was he doing?
I think that was just Bledsoe
playing for overtime.
I think that
basically.
Hold on. What?
He shot a 25-foot three.
If he was playing for overtime, he wouldn't have shot the ball.
But why did he take a Steph Curry
so
three?
He's not Steph Curry. Right. I understand that.
It's an extremely low percentage shot.
I think it was a bad...
taken a better shot.
I don't think there's any debate that it was a bad shot, but say he was playing for overtime is kind of weird.
It was
a bad shot. We've got that out of our system.
Well, okay. Takeaways from the game. PJ was very engaged, which was something that I was actually talking with my buddy about prior to that game, because my buddy had gone to the Indy game and said, when are we going to trade PJ? PJ doesn't want to be here anymore. It was obvious watching him on the court. So I was like, I'll watch out for that since I'm going to the New Orleans game. I went and checked it out. PJ was really engaged. I mean, you looked at him. He really stepped up. He defended Davis head on most of the game and held Anthony Davis to he only had 14 points.
Yeah, and he was... I don't remember the field goal percentage,
but it was
pretty
low. For a big man, it was a low percentage. Actually, probably for a guard, it was a low percentage.
It was probably like in Brandon Knight range then, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Or Archie Goodwin range.
Oh, that's mean. What did he ever do to you?
He was on Twitch.
Okay. Anyway, go on. Twitch? Oh, go on. I don't want to know.
I don't know. Anyway, but that was actually a big takeaway for me, which is, I mean, the Suns were playing hard. I mean, New Orleans is the level of team that they can compete with, arguably. Uh-huh. But at the same time, we've talked about it in the past that the Suns kind of play up to competition and play down to competition. Like when they're playing against an inferior team, they don't play their best game.
Agreed.
Like they get up for a game against the Spurs or the Warriors, I mean, granted, the last Warriors game they didn't really get up for.
Well, they got up for about half of it.
And the Spurs game they got up for about three quarters of it. But this game, for playing a lower end team. They were in it and they were competing. They obviously took it to overtime. It was a really fun game to watch, fun game to be in the arena for, and I had a good time and I liked what I saw for the most part from a growing team.
All right, that's what I like to hear. The one, what I took away from that game is there are a lot of fans out there who really don't know what to do with the basketball. hear me out here. We've got these folks, and you know, God bless their hearts. I'm not. Well, I could do better. I will say it. I could do better. You got these guys that go out there. It's like a little, you know, timeout contest during. Excuse me, contest during a timeout when it's like you have 30 seconds to make three free throws, and like homeboy airballs like three of them. It's like come
four
on,
of them
dude.
Go
like,
left.
Adjust. Yeah. It's. It, I made the comment at the game. It reminded me of the scene from White Men Can't Jump. When Woody Harrelson is shooting the threes from the top of the key, and Wesley Snipes goes out there and he's like, you know, this might not be like your rec center ball that you guys get to play, you know, because the wind out here, it tends to make the ball sway a little bit left to right. He does a little, you know,
little move
with the lower body. Yeah, exactly. It reminded me of that. It's like, hey, bro, there must be some wind in here somewhere, so, you know, adjust. Maybe aim a little more right. You're missing left, but... Like I said, I'm saying I could do way better.
It's I'm not sad. Yeah, saying I could do way better.
I feel like you for sure couldn't.
No.
Okay, cool. As long as we're both on the same page. Oh, now you're going to say you can.
I'm not saying I would make the shots, but I wouldn't airball the shots.
Mm.
I'd at least make contact with the rim.
I feel like I need to find out how I can get you on the court and make you do this.
I don't know. We need to start talking to Jared Dudley about those dunks.
I'm going to figure it out. Oh, don't change the subject. The subject is
speaking
now.
Speaking of, no dunks
the
yet.
The subject is now Paul shooting free throws in front of, like, 12,000 fans. During
that
a timeout of the Suns
was
game.
Pretty light.
Yeah. So,
the lower deck was kind of light, too.
But at any rate, so I'm going to figure out a way to make that happen. All right. So let's move on. We spoke about Eric Bledsoe, and outside of that shot at the end of the New Orleans game, I think we can all agree that he has been playing freaking awesome over the past couple of weeks.
Fire!
3 30-point games in a row, and you had mentioned before we started recording here tonight that you had read an article about the quandary the Suns might find themselves in if Eric Bledsoe continues to play the way he's been playing once this year's heavily... Top heavy. I'll say not heavily top heavy, just top heavy point guard draft comes in to play.
Yeah, I mean, and this actually kind of goes back to talking or being there with McD, because somebody asked the question about kind of, actually, I think, was it Dave who asked the question about the draft? I think it was.
Are you serious right now? That was me.
You asked a question.
Are you serious right now? You were sitting next to me and I asked that question. You are serious right now.
Yes.
Oh my God.
No, Dave asked the question because he specifically mentioned point guard heavy draft.
We're done. We're done being friends.
No, we're not.
Go on.
You can't quit me.
Did Dave mention that? Maybe he asked it. Maybe I repeated the question because I did ask about what the strategy is going to be going into this year's draft in light of the fact that we have a team that, for all intents and purposes, has talented young guys at every single position. So is there a position that they're going to focus on? Stop staring at me. You always do that. I'm going
to
stop looking at you.
I'm
is there a position? Is there a position that they're going to focus on, or is it more a
just don't blink.
Best player available type approach, to which McD said it's going to be a best player available type approach in all likelihood. But go on. You're taking credit for my question away. It's fine.
Sorry, I'm trying to help Dave out here.
Yeah, I don't think he needs help.
He doesn't. He's way
you.
Better at his job than we are.
Go
at this.
On.
Anyway, basically, Bledsoe's kind of putting them into a situation where they have to possibly draft for need over best player available, just because he is balling out, and he's obviously a point guard, and we have a very point guard heavy front end of the draft where the Suns will undoubtedly be picking. So we've had enough point guard issues on this team.
What?
We really want to
what do you mean?
Make more of them. Well, we've already got
Ulis
on the bench who shows a ton of potential.
Mm-hmm.
Bledsoe is, like I said, balling out. I think really it kind of comes down to I don't think the team fits around Bledsoe right now.
Why?
I mean,
and don't be like, because they're not winning games. Because that's a total bad answer.
Again, something we talked about when we were prepping. Bledsoe is a score first point guard, great defensive point guard, which is perfect, particularly playing alongside a guy like Booker, who is a shooter, not the best at defense. So Bledsoe can always take the harder.
Also, maybe not the best shooter. I don't know.
We'll get into that later.
We will.
But Bledsoe can take on the stronger defensive assignment. But he's, I was making the analogy to kind of like the Cavs. And in no way are the Suns the Cavs right now. But Bledsoe...
Thanks for that clarification.
Bledsoe has a similar game to Kyrie in the sense he's a very ball-dominant, score-first point guard. But really what makes... But because of that... You need like a front court guy like a LeBron or on some other team or like back in the day with the Lakers in the second run when Kobe won championships, Gasol and Lamar Odom, you had a front court player who was actually more the facilitator of the offense, made it flow with passing.
Who was the point guard on those Lakers teams? Was that Jordan Farmar?
No, it was still Derek
Sasha Vujicic?
It's Derek Fisher.
Oh. Well, wasn't Jordan Farmer?
They were
Farmer.
There.
Okay.
I'm
sorry.
Jordan Farmer and Sasha Vujicic were there in the years between.
Oh, that explains the lack of championships. Okay, go on.
No. Farmer was there when Gasol was there because I'm not going to tell you why I know that.
I'm curious, but I feel like maybe it's something that you can't publicize.
No, I'll admit it. Does anybody remember an old show on CBS?
Are you
Numbers?
Asking other people that are here in this room right now?
Well, I'm throwing it out there to the audience. I know
Numbers?
You don't know it. It's called Numbers.
I do remember that show. I never watched it. I remember it, though.
Jordan Farmar and Pau Gasol guested on that show.
Oh, Jesus.
Together.
Okay, go back to your point, because I'm disappointed that you know that.
It's on Ion on reruns.
You're not going back to your point. Go back to your point.
Anyway, but basically, when you have a...
Ion? Sorry, go.
Channel 305, man.
Okay, continue.
Anyway, when you have a score-first point guard like Bledsoe or Kyrie, you need somebody to keep the offense moving, which we have seen as a issue that the Suns have had this year. In they're one of the lowest teams in assist percentage. Like assisted shots percentage.
Right. So they need somebody else that's going to pick up the slack
pick
on
up
the
slack,
assists.
And they don't really have that player right now. I mean, maybe they do in Bender, but he's still such a puppy of a player that he's not there yet to be that anchor on the starting offense to do that.
He's like a big, tall, skinny puppy. You're right. I love it. Question
he's
though.
Marmaduke.
So, but. How many pass-first point guards are there in the NBA these days? Besides Chris Paul.
There aren't that many.
Maybe you're romanticizing the old NBA.
I am probably romanticizing the Steve Nash days. I mean, obviously that's what I grew up on as a Suns fan. And KJ and...
Dude, you were in your 20s when that happened.
What
do you
mean
you grew
that's
up
what,
on
that's
that?
When I, that's when I Jesus. Developed my true love of the Suns. But at the same time, I mean, I also... Huge KJ fan early on because when I moved to Phoenix was right when that KJ Barkley team was around, and I've always loved guys like Nash and Kidd and Magic Johnson. I know I'm white and I love assists according to stuff white people.
Jay Williams. Have you seen his son play?
No,
dude. There's mixtapes out there about Jay Williams' son.
Junior?
Dude. Throw some tats on that kid. It's Jason Williams. And he's like, I don't know, like 13. The ball's like bigger than him. It's phenomenal. But okay.
But yes, so, I am romanticizing that aspect of the NBA. But the NBA has actually evolved more. In my opinion, the NBA has evolved more. The good teams, everybody's passing. Like the teams that are good.
So
like
then
the,
you don't need. So you're saying. But so
you
don't
just
really,
need players who pass.
So the Suns, if we get into this draft, that's a point guard heavy draft. Top loaded with point guards. Do they take a point guard?
If it's based on McDee's history, is the best guy available?
No, but I'm asking
guard?
You, not him. You. I'm pointing at you.
Because
I feel like I'm about to tell you why you're wrong based on the look on your face right now.
I'm taking best player available.
So
if that's a point guard, okay. We deal with that later. Maybe I trade down because it's a deep draft. get an asset and maybe draft.
Okay, so let's let me run this hypothetical by you.
Okay,
you have two guys that are equal on your board. One's a point guard. One's a power forward.
Okay,
which guy do you take?
We're loaded at.
Which guy do you take?
A point guard and a power forward. Oh. Huh.
3 seconds.
I think I take the point guard.
Wrong. But why do you take the point guard?
We want Brandon Knight gone.
Yeah, okay. That doesn't...
Eric Bledsoe has an injury history. We have two young guys who can play the 3, 4, and 5.
You just named three positions that...
Well, we have two guys... Well,
that can play... We have one guy that can play a 3, 4, 5. We have one guy that play the 4, 5. We got one guy that play the 3.
Right.
Okay.
And you could make an argument that for the near future, until they prove it wrong, we basically are kind of set at the 2 and 3 with Booker and Warren. Like, those positions, that is our foundation.
So you run the risk, though, of alienating the team's best player by picking a player that's going to play his position.
Yes.
You don't care about that. No. If no is the answer, no is the answer, Paul. That's fine.
If I'm going to do that, I would take serious consideration in trading Bledsoe. Because he's not on the timeline of the rest of the team.
How is he not on the timeline of the team? He's 27 years old.
Yeah, and they're all 20.
So you just want to have a team full of like 19 and 20-year-olds and hope they all develop, and by the time they're in their mid to late 20s that they're going to be good?
I'm 42, we'll have a good team.
Your logic is shocking. That's all I have to say. It's shocking.
So you take the power forward.
In a heartbeat.
Where are you going to find the minutes for a power forward?
Well, if you're going to have... So we say we've got a guy that plays a 3. We've got a guy that can play a 3-4-5. We've got a guy that plays a 4-5.
Right.
Alex Len, who knows where the hell he's going to be. But even if we keep him around, he's probably going to be a backup center is what he's going to be.
Making a crap ton of money.
So you're going to take... So let's say Alex Len is gone. So you're going to have either Chris... or Bender, or Mr. Mystery Power Forward, who in all likelihood will probably be able to play the 5 as well, because that's how the NBA works these days. You don't have those true centers that just park their asses down. Yeah, but he's not going to be around that much longer, regardless of whether or not the Suns trade him this year. So you're going to have those minutes, because you got 3 spots right there that will have a total of 4 guys in it. And you're not alienating the best player on your team by drafting him. And that, my friend, is why I would take the power forward. But you know what? We should move on. We can yell at each other about this later, but right now, we got other things to talk about.
Really?
Yeah.
Hopefully there are good things to talk about.
I don't know.
Hopefully there is.
You know what it is, so...
I don't remember anymore.
Oh, okay. I think this one we can cover briefly, because I'm not sure there's a whole lot to say outside of the fact that I'm worried to hell about Devin Booker at this point. What was it? What did I say? DEFCON 3 is where I'm at?
Yeah.
Threat
level orange?
Dude, threat level midnight. That's what I said.
I know you said threat level midnight, threat level orange is the equivalent of DEFCON 3.
I know, but threat level midnight.
Are you creeping towards DEFCON 5 or DEFCON 1?
Well,
this is a tricky question.
One's 1. Cause
okay,
one's
just making sure I wasn't tricking you.
One. Really? You think I just say things without knowing what I'm saying?
Yes.
No, that's you. That's not me. I always do research before I say things.
Uh-huh.
Or I just guessed really luckily right there. One of the two. You decide. But at any rate, Devin Booker shooting like 40%, just a shade over 40% right now this year. Oh, you're looking it up because you think I'm guessing again? Bet you I'm right. And I think like 31% from three-point range. And I'm starting to worry that maybe he's in his own head too much, and I don't know that that's something that just goes away. Like I said, I was watching the game the other night. What game would it have been? The Knicks game. And I've never seen a guy in the NBA miss about 15 to 16 foot shot from, you know, kind of the wing. Worse than he did in the elbow area. I think it was towards the end of the fourth quarter in overtime, and it almost looks like he's short-armed it. Like, once he starts getting cold, he just starts trying to guide the ball into the hoop, and that's not going to work. And maybe the guys that go...
You are right. Oh. 40% from field, 31 from three.
Yet I'm the one that makes stuff up. I don't think I've been wrong yet on this show, just for the record. But, and you know what? Devin Booker proved me wrong, because I really hope he turns it around, but I am starting to get worried that maybe last year was a flash in the pan. And if it was, that's going to become... Then, you know what? Then we're drafting a shooting guard next year.
Counterpoint?
But go on. Please, counterpoint.
Counterpoint. I think it's more of a sophomore slump. Because look at some of the other players who everybody hyped up as a second coming this season. Towns is having a down year. Well, he's my biggest example. Also a Kentucky guy, but he's having a down year. I mean, yes, raw numbers. Like, if you're just going to look at the raw box score, yeah, he's technically up slightly, similar to Booker. But, well, Booker's up a lot just because he had a half a season where he was
Booker's up
playing.
In points.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But
raw
he's
numbers,
not up in
raw
anything
numbers.
Else.
But, I mean, Towns is down in shooting percentage. He's down in rebound percentage. He's down across the board in those, like, more advanced stats. Similar with Booker, and I think it's a situation of them just their franchises and the fan bases kind of putting more on them than, like, kind of expecting more than really we should be.
Okay, can I let me just say where I just had to look up what Towns' numbers are at right now. He's down in field goal percentage. Sure, that's true. But he's still shooting 47%.
He's a big
shooting,
man. He should be shooting
and
close
he's
to
shooting 34% from 3-point range.
And how many a game?
25? Oh, how many a game?
Yeah.
He's shooting 4 threes a game.
Okay.
So did I just disprove your theory?
No, you didn't disprove my theory.
I feel
theory,
like I did.
But
that looked like a dejected admission right there.
Well, I mean, look at the Timberwolves as a whole, as a team. They're expected to compete for the playoffs. Riding Karl Anthony Towns as basically their...
So lead. Now you're falling back on the argument that because the Timberwolves suck, Karl Anthony Towns is having a sophomore slump?
I'm saying they put a lot on the kid, like the Suns have put on Booker. And not that he's wilting under the pressure, but I think we might have put more... We might are expecting more from a 20-year-old than he really... is ready to provide.
Which kind of proves my point in that I think he's not as strong mentally. He's not prepared for this. And like I said, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like that's something that you can't grow into. You don't grow out of. Kobe Bryant didn't come out of high school soft and then suddenly become this, like, Black Mamba, hard-nosed, cold-blooded killer. He's had that in him. And again, I'm obviously not an elite athlete, and if Devin Booker hears this, I'm sorry. I mean none of this. But I'm not an elite athlete, but that's my take on it.
I don't
think and I'm concerned about it.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm not concerned.
And maybe soft was the wrong word. I'm not saying he's
I'm
soft.
Not
you know who
I'm
is not,
not
soft? It's Marquese Chris.
Yeah, no, he's got the baby face, but he is not a baby.
Can I just say that Kristaps Porzingis has, like, one of the most punchable faces I've ever seen?
I think it's the haircut.
No, I think it's his face.
I think it's the haircut.
Okay, let's combine the face with the haircut, but it's punchable. And when Marquise Chris threw him down the other night, I was like, that was a total overreaction, but I love it. But I love having a dude like that on the Suns, too, because, you know what? Everybody needs a little bit of a little instigator.
A little bit crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Need a little bit of Ron Artest.
As I think
not a lot of Ron Artest.
Yeah,
a little bit of Ron Artest.
Like, more like you want Meta World Peace, not Ron Artest.
Meta World Peace kind of stuff.
Yeah, but he wasn't as crazy. He was still crazy, but not as crazy.
He gets great wide open, like, airball rebounds.
I feel like, and I said this on Twitter the other night, I feel like Marquese Chris could potentially maybe be kind of like that instigator, kind of like Bruce Bowen, minus the part where he tries to injure somebody every time they take a jump shot by stepping underneath them. Right?
Yeah.
I like that idea. So, okay. DEFCON 3, threat level midnight. That's where I'm on Booker. I hope he proves me wrong, but I'm freaking concerned, and we'll
I'm
see.
Leaning sophomore slump.
We'll see. We'll
I am concerned, but I'm leaning sophomore
slump.
So
in a month, if he's doing the same thing, then what do you say?
It's still a sophomore season.
So if he just sucks his entire second year, you're cool with that. You're pausing. You're not answering. You're looking off into yonder right now. Do something.
Fill the air. I'm trying to formulate a thought.
Okay,
we'll move. I don't know, man.
Jesus, we'll move on.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm trying to be the optimist here, which is weird because you're usually the optimist.
I'm not an optimist.
Yeah, but I'm a pessimist.
I look at what could potentially happen in reality, and I apply that. And I'm seeing a reality of Devin Booker.
Well, I mean, we know we can't have good things.
Some serious, serious issues right now. No, we can't. Okay. We'll move on to what I think will be our last subject of the evening. And that is this week's edition of Who Does Paul Want to Trade This Week?
Tyson Chandler, please.
Okay. And just for the record, the caveat here is Brandon Knight is always number one.
Yeah.
And Paul just fills in who's after that. So
yeah,
go on.
Tyson Chandler is not on the Suns' timetable for success.
That I'll agree with.
But he has, in my opinion, he has completely rehabilitated any issues of trade value that were of concerns from last year when he was injured and kind of sucking horrendously.
So you're saying that like NBA teams out there that are looking to get over the hump would be interested in a guy who just, you know, happens to grab 20 plus rebounds multiple times in a row?
Yep.
Well, at least two, but you can know, that's multiple.
Catch lobs, score, like is not looking for the ball, but can score opportunistically.
Has a sweet beard.
Has a sweet beard.
And can you tell me why I find his beard far less annoying than James Harden's?
Because James Harden's looks glued on.
Maybe it is.
I think it might be. Or does James Harden use activator on his beard?
What if it comes out one day that James Harden all these years has had a fake beard? That would be amazing.
Yes, yeah, some
I little, feel like you didn't some, enjoy that as much as like in my head. I'm imagining I'm throwing like a parade for James Harden's fake beard.
I'm imagining some little kid like grabbing it like they grab Santa Claus's beard and it just comes off.
It's like a rubber band, it snaps back and hits yeah, me in the face. Exactly. Okay, I like that. So anyway, back to Tyson Chandler training. I'm going
back to Tyson Chandler. I mean, I enjoy having Tyson Chandler on the team. He's playing great. I just, similar to PJ Tucker, he's not on the same timetable, and a team who is trying to be a contender could really use his skills, and we can probably fleece them for hopefully a late round first pick, late first round pick.
I wouldn't fight against that.
His contract is argued under the new salary cap, $11 million a year is reasonable.
So funny how when they signed him, it's like, oh my God, that's too much money for him. And all of a sudden it's like, oh man, what a deal.
Yeah.
It's funny how jacking up the salary cap changes everybody's perspective. So, all right. Well, that being said, we've run through a number of things. We've hit on the topics we wanted to talk about. And I think, for the time being, we can wrap things up. So, as always, comments, questions, thoughts, go ahead and leave them in the comments section at brightsideofthesun.com. If you would like to, you can hit both of us up on Twitter. I am at SoSaysJayAndPaul.
At Dervish of Whirl.
At Dervish of Whirl. And any closing thoughts? You have 5 seconds if you have anything, just for the record.
Are we closing thoughts or are we just saying goodbye?
Holy Jesus. That was your closing thought. Okay. So on that note, until next time that we grace you with our presence. Was that too conceited? Anyway, until next time, folks, whenever you're listening to us, have a good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, and we will talk to you soon.
In honor of Rogue One, may the Force be with you.
What's that?
Star Wars, man. Oh. Star Wars.
Wait, hold on. I need to ask. Why? Is there like a star? Like, why are you randomly saying Star Wars stuff?
That's what Rogue One is.
I know, dude. But like, what's why? Why are you bringing that up now? Like,
what do you mean?
Like, that seems like super random.
I'm trying to sign off with May the Force be with you, and I was trying to give it context.
Oh, okay. I was really confused. I'm sorry. I just... Anyway, until next time.
You really just shat on my point, didn't you?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean it.
This is a different kind of ending.
You want to try it again?
No, let's just end now.
All right.
Bye.